With confidence in the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, here's the Emmanuel Pulpit and Pastor Mike Stone.
I love the story of the little boy who was studying in Sunday school about the Ten Commandments. Week after week, the teacher was trying to get them to memorize God's top 10 moral absolutes. Finally, she asked them who could quote just one of God's 10 commandments. And a deacon's kid, no doubt, raised his hand and said, "I know one, thou shalt not uncover thy neighbor's wife." Well, he was confusing the commandment against coveting and the commandment against adultery, but he actually wasn't too far off. It's not a good thing to uncover thy neighbor's wife. Well, this morning our verse is not about the sin of adultery or the sin of coveting, but it is one of God's 10 commandments, and it deals with the relationship we have with our mother and with our father. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, from these few verses, these few words, rather, of Scripture, I want to show you three Bible truths about honoring mom and dad and how and why it is the first of God's 10 commandments that had a promise connected to it. And might I point out at the outset of this message that this commandment has no term limit. It's not limited to those who are young and in the home, but from the youngest child in this sanctuary to the oldest senior adult, God's mandate to you, not a suggestion, not merely good advice, God's commandment to you, honor your father and mother. Three simple truths I want to draw from this text. Let's begin, first of all, with noticing a plain requirement. It's as simple as black ink on white paper: honor your father and mother. Now, the commandment itself, the requirement itself, is just five words in our English Bibles: honor your father and mother. And it's really simple. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand this. Honor your father and mother. There are many verses in the Bible over which good brothers and sisters can agree to disagree. Highly complex, debatable passages. Passages on prophecy. Passages from the book of Daniel or the book of the Revelation. And you could stack up well-respected Bible commentators on one side that hold one view, and you could stack up well-respected Bible commentators on the other side who hold a different view. And men and women who love the Bible and love the Lord and love the truth can see that text, that passage, a little bit differently. This is not one of those. Honor your father and mother. There are some verses of Scripture, indeed some of our memory verses, that you've got to have a little bit of understanding. A Bible teacher needs to unpack it, take it apart, explain it to you, and put it back together. We had one of those last month. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For God made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I admit that at first reading, 2 Corinthians 5:21 is a theological mouthful. But you, not only do you not have to be a mature Christian, listen, friend, you don't even have to be saved to understand the simplicity of this commandment. Honor your father and mother. It's a plain requirement. Let me show you how plain it is. First of all, it's from our Savior. It's from the mouth of God himself. When Moses ascended to the top of Mount Sinai, Israel, fresh out of Egyptian bondage, headed to the land of promise, Moses tabernacled together with God up at the top of Sinai, and God handed down 10 unchanging and unchangeable moral absolutes, starting with, "You'll have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any graven image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. This is more than a requirement to be on a ball team. This is more than a regulation to be in good standing at the elementary school, the middle school, or the high school. Quite frankly, this goes even higher than your daddy telling you, as long as you live here, you're going to do what I say. This goes a lot higher. It comes from a lot higher up than even the mother that gave you birth, saying, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out of it if I need to. This comes from the heart and hand of God himself. It's drawn from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Paul, quoting here from the Old Testament, says this is the first commandment with promise. Exodus 20, 12 says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land your Lord, the Lord your God is giving you. By the way, if you're paying attention as we move through our church's memory verses, many of them have been specifically chosen as New Testament quotations of Old Testament verses, because there is a theological trend in the United States. One of the most prominent pastors in America, in fact, one of the most prominent preachers in our own state, some years ago infamously said that we should unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. There's a preacher that I'm quoting from today that disagrees with that. His name is the Apostle Paul. When Paul gathered with people, when Paul wrote to the churches of the first century, he quoted from, preached from, and thereby affirmed the inspiration, authority, and veracity of the Old Testament scriptures. He's not making this up from his own opinion. He didn't read it off the back of a box of Kellogg's Apple Jacks. He didn't get it from the culture or from watching the evening news, but from the mouth of God himself. Honor your father and your mother. Now, sometimes when preachers preach on the Ten Commandments, they will tell us that the first four speak of our relationship with God. You've got no other gods, no idols, don't take his name in vain, and remember the day of worship. They will then say that the other six, starting with this fifth commandment, address our relationship with other people. In this case, mom and dad. I understand why they would make such a division, and I'm not completely in disagreement with it, but I think it needs to be fine-tuned just a little bit. For this commandment about honoring your father and mother is also about having a right relationship with God. It's not merely about being rightly related to your parents. It's also about being rightly related to God. In fact, I will say this. If you're not rightly honoring mom and dad, you're not in a right relationship with God. Now, I know that in a room of this size, add in our online viewers, men and women in this room say, preacher, you don't understand. My mother was not an honorable woman. My dad was not a good man. Well, the reality is this commandment is written to you about how you are to treat them. And I know that there are strained relationships represented even in this room. I did not say that you've got to be best friends with your dad or bosom buddies with your mom to be right with God. I told you that if you are not honoring them, you're not in right fellowship with God. Because this commandment didn't come from mom and dad, it came from our Heavenly Father about mom and dad. It's a simple, plain requirement. It's from the Savior. Secondly, I want you to notice that it's to the saint. All of God's commandments are written to you. Think just about the Ten Commandments if we limit ourselves to that discussion. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any graven image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You shall not steal. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor, and nestled in the midst of them, honor your father and mother. And I think in our day, we should emphasize this also applies to stepfathers and stepmothers. If you come from a broken or a blended home, I submit it's a sin against God to blaspheme and disrespect your stepmother by saying, "You're not my mama." I would contend it's a sin against God to dishonor and disrespect your stepdaddy by saying, "You're not my daddy, and you can't make me do anything." This verse is not written to parents to tell them how to treat children. There are verses in the Bible that do that, but this isn't one of those. This is not about how parents are to treat children. This is about how children are to treat their parents. Now, I want you to notice a statement on the screen. How your parents treat you says something about them. How you treat your parents says something about you. God doesn't give any exemption clauses. There's no asterisk that draws your attention to a six-point font down at the bottom of the page that says, under these circumstances, under these qualifications, you do not have to honor your mom and your dad. No, this is an absolute requirement from God. Even in the worst situation, we are to honor our mom and our dad. I want to hasten to say that I know that many in this room, just based on the size of the congregation, you've experienced some painful things from the mouth of your mom, from the hand and life of your dad. But the Bible still says in Romans 12 and verse 18, if possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. The way that you treat your parents says much about you. I remember as a little boy, I was at my dad's business one day, and he was in the welding supply business. It was an industrial business. And I was in the only part of that building that OSHA would let me go in as a little boy. It was actually the front sales counter where they did the over-the-counter sales. And I was talking to a man that was buying something, and I referred to him as Mr. So-and-so. I don't remember his name, but I'll just say Mr. Smith. And he responded to me, "Mr. Smith is my daddy. Don't call me Mr. Smith, call me John." My daddy overheard this and said, "Oh no, he's going to call you Mr. Smith." He said, "I'm not that important." And my daddy said, "He's going to call you Mr. Smith, not because of who you are, but because who I want him to be. He's going to show honor and respect and dignity, whether you deserve it or not." And again, no doubt in this room, you would say, "Preacher, you don't know what my daddy's like." No, but God does. And God says, honor him. "Preacher, you don't know how my mama can be." I don't, but God does. And God did not have to say that y'all want to go on vacation together, but he did say you got to honor them. He didn't have to say that you want to spend all of your time together with them, but the Bible does say you are to honor them. Well, Brother Mike, what if they're not honorable? Honor them anyway. "Preacher, doesn't the Bible say give honor to whom honor is due?" Yes, and God says every mama and every daddy is due honor from their sons and from their daughters. You don't have to be an expert in Bible to understand this plain requirement. It's from the Savior. It's to the saint. Thirdly, it is throughout the Scripture. Now, if God only said something one time, that would carry the weight of heaven behind it. But God doesn't just give this commandment one time. Quite frankly, he doesn't even give it twice. He says it throughout the pages of Holy Scripture again and again. He proclaims it in the Old Testament. He repeats it in the New through the heart and hand of prophets and apostles alike. Honor your father and your mother. Now, if I were to ask you to rank sins, and by the way, if you're a guest of ours, I've taught this congregation that there are degrees of sin. All sin is sin because of its nature, but all sin is not equal in its degree. I don't think any of us would think that an unkind thought is the same depth of sin as a serial killing rapist. But if you were to rank sins, I mean the ones that are not as depraved and the ones that are worse, where would dishonor and disrespect of parents be? Would you put it down at the bottom of the list with those unspoken thoughts? Or would you put it all the way on the other extreme with the vilest and most wicked sins of mankind? Well, let's don't answer the question ourselves. Let's see what God has to say. In Exodus chapter 21 and verse 15, the Bible says that he who strikes his father or mother. You're going to hit your own daddy? Slap your own mama? The Bible says you ought to be put to death. Now there's some weary daddy in the room saying, "Preacher, where can I get a time machine and take my boy back to ancient Israel?" I should hasten to say I'm glad we don't live under that same law system, because this would be a very empty room today. For in the area of honoring mom and dad, we've all sinned and fallen far short of the glory of God. We've all said and done and failed to say and failed to do. But God takes it very seriously. You say, "Well, I would never hit my mom. I'd never strike my dad." Well, two verses later, Exodus 21:17 says that whoever curses father or mother. You just said something that's not honorable to, listen, or about your mama or your daddy. God said that was such a scourge on the theocracy of Israel that it should be absolutely flushed out of the culture by means of capital punishment. Again, I just want you to see that God takes this sin very, very seriously. In Deuteronomy 21, starting in verse 18, God said, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son..." Girls, I think this could include a daughter as well, but it's especially on the young men. "Who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, he will not listen to them. Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And mom and dad shall say to the elders of the city, 'This is our son. He's stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice.' And then all the men of that city shall stone him to death with stones." And I want you to notice this phrase: "So shall you purge," not the mistake, not the natural course of being an adolescent, not the understandable way that sometimes kids get mad at their mama and their daddy. But when you stone them to death with stones, so shall you purge the evil from your midst. And everybody around is supposed to hear that, see it, and fear. Teenagers, boys and girls, young adult, I want you to listen to me very carefully. If you have some so-called friend in your life that's helping you disrespect your parents, covering for you when you're not where you're supposed to be, lying for you to help you trick your parents, if they help you talk bad about your mom and dad, if they'll sit there and listen to you while you talk bad about your mama and your daddy. And they don't take the word of God and kindly but appropriately rebuke you. Listen to me, boys and girls. If you've got somebody that's helping you dishonor and disrespect and disobey your parents, they are more spiritually dangerous to you than a rabid dog. Yes. And you should run from them just as surely as if they are trying to get you engaged in drugs and alcohol. The Bible says this is a serious sin. Proverbs 30 verse 17 declares, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out, plucked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures." When I mention the book of Romans chapter 1, Bible students immediately think of the sin of homosexuality, and rightly so. There God gives indication of what a person, indeed what a culture, acts like when they've been turned over to a reprobate mind. And the Bible says in Romans 1 beginning in verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, and malice. And later in that passage, he says, they are inventors of evil and disobedient to parents. God says someone who is habitually and consistently disobedient to parents is indicative, listen carefully, is indicative of somebody who has a reprobate mind. Not someone who's just straying from the Lord. Someone who is not saved. I'm calling this a plain requirement because here it is, very simple. The God who formed you in your mother's womb, and if you're saved, the God who you say you've yielded control of your life to, says, "I've got a commandment to you. Honor your mama, and you honor your daddy. And if you don't, I take it very seriously." There's a plain requirement. Let's move on to what I'm going to label a proper response. And to be quite frank, this is where we run into the questions. Everybody in this room knows the Bible says to honor your mama and your daddy. But how do I flesh that out practically? Brother Mike, what if I'm grown? What if I'm on my own? How do I honor my parents? Do I still have to obey them? Preacher, what if my dad is a jerk and my mom is a nag? What if every time they call or come over, it's World War III and looks like a scene off the Jerry Springer TV show? What if every time I try to go see them, it's chaos and confusion? What if my parents are a bad influence? What if my mom or dad are the kind of people I don't want my kids around because of how they talk and how they live? Preacher, I know my daddy has done some awful things. There's no way I'm going to let him around my girls. How in the most difficult situation do I honor my parents? By the way, the fact that those questions exist in this room mean that if you've got a mama and daddy that love you and walk with Jesus, you better kiss the ground that God gave you to walk on. You are immeasurably blessed by heaven. But how, in any and every case, am I to respond to this mandate from God? Three things, and I want to give them to you in keeping with three stages of life. When you're very young, when they're very old, and even when you get old. How do I honor my parents? Well, number one, you honor them by how you submit to them. The Greek word honor in today's text, this month's verse, means to value, to show that it's something worthy of respect, dignity, and honor, to value. When we read it in the Old Testament book of Exodus, the word there, translated as honor, means weight, a heaviness, something that's weighty. I think it's better illustrated, perhaps, than defined, I want you to imagine an old set of scale, like the scales of justice. And there are two pans on either side of this scale, and they're chained to a fulcrum in the middle. And what this word honor means is that you give your parents weight. That their opinion matters more than anybody else's. Their counsel is heavier than all the rest of the world put together. What that means, young lady, is that even though all your friends at high school say, that's the boy for you, y'all are a cute couple, but your daddy says, you're not allowed to see him. That means that daddy's word by itself tips the scale. You give it the weight that it deserves. That means when you're pursuing something in life and everybody else says, go in this direction, but your mama says, that's not what you're allowed to do. Mama's word carries more weight than all your friends at the middle school and high school put together. You give them the weight and the honor that they deserve. Now, clearly, when you're young and in their home and with some of our college students already getting home, I think this also includes when you're out of their house but still on their ticket. Out of the house but still in the wallet. Somebody say amen right there. You cannot separate at that age honoring from obeying. No way that you can disobey while honoring at the same time. I've told you the story before of going to a funeral down the road at the Blackshear Church of God. The lady that had passed away was well into her 90s. It's actually Miss Linda Howard's mother. And the deceased lady's granddaughter, roughly my age, got up to eulogize Granny. And she talked about how Granny was a godly granny. Granny was a woman of God and a woman of the Word. She told the story of when she was, I think, 11 or 12 years old. She wanted some pierced ears, wanted to get some of those pierced earrings. But her Pentecostal daddy, this deceased lady's son, said that it was a sin against God to get your ears pierced. Now, don't misquote me. I didn't say that. He did. But she went to Granny and said, Granny, tell your son, my daddy, that the Bible does not prohibit pierced ears. And Granny said, oh, yes, it does. She said, where is it? She said, go find it. And she scoured the Bible because when you're looking for a Bible verse to validate doing what you want to do, we can become deep water Bible students, can't we? And I mean, she's exegeting the Hebrew and the Greek, looking for a verse that says you can't have pierced ears. She went back to Granny and said, Granny, I've looked everywhere. There's no such verse in the Bible. Granny said, yes, there is. Go look again. She went a second time, read from Genesis 1 all the way through to the maps, and came back a second time. Granny, there's no verse in the Bible that says I can't get my ears pierced. She said, yes, there is. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honey, didn't this whole conversation start when you told me that your daddy said you couldn't get your ears pierced? Honey, that's all the Bible that you need. You respond to this passage by how you submit to them. But secondly, by how you sacrifice for them. I'm moving now out of the childhood stage, and now I'm talking to adults whose elderly parents are still living. You honor your mama and your daddy in part by how you sacrifice for them. Honoring my dad has changed a lot over the last several decades. I don't have to any longer do everything my daddy tells me to do. If my dad were to call me, he would not, but if he did and said, I was in prayer and God told me you're to resign Emmanuel Baptist Church, I don't have to do what my dad tells me to do, but I should respond to him still in an honorable way. But I am still to honor my parents in part by how I sacrifice for them. Don't be like the boy, the teenager, who said, Mama, Daddy, you better buy me a new iPhone. I'm going to be the one picking out your nursing home. Listen very carefully. God has a plan to take care of children. It's called parents. Not the government. Parents. Not even the church. Parents. God has a plan to take care of kids. It's called parents. Now, if I have to do the amening and the preaching, this sermon is going to take twice as long. I said, God has a plan to take care of kids. It's called parents. And God has a plan to take care of aging parents. It's called kids. You say, well, I don't have a lot of extra money. Do you think your mom and daddy were printing it on in the basement when you were coming along? You say, well, I don't have a lot of extra time. Do you think they did? You think it was easy for your dad to get off early to be at those ball games? You say, well, my mama wants me to take her to the Gaither Homecoming concert. I don't like gospel music. Well, first of all, you can repent for that and be saved. But do you think that she really enjoyed going to all those cheerleading competitions, band festivals, and t-ball games, fighting the sand gnats? Do you think that was her idea of a fun Saturday? And what they did for us, we're to do in response and in return. Proverbs 23:22 said, listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Last night, I went out to supper with my daughter, and I was sharing a particular passage that deals with honoring your family. It's found in 1 Timothy 5:8. You'll even see it on the screen. There, the Bible says that if anyone does not provide for the members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You might have memorized that he's worse than an infidel. And I hear that verse quoted a lot, talking about self-centered mamas who are more concerned, listen to me now, with bar hopping on Friday and Saturday night than staying home and taking care of their own kids. I've heard that verse a lot. I've used that verse a lot, talking about the deadbeat dad who knows how to sire a child but don't hang around long enough to fulfill his responsibility. And even in broken marriages, won't financially support the rearing of his own child. And the Bible says that somebody who claims to be saved but won't take care of their own family is denied the faith, is worse than an unbeliever. And while I think that that verse on the screen has application there, a parent that won't take care of their own kids, that's actually not what the context of that verse is about at all. Paul is actually writing to Timothy about how to conduct things at the church house. And he speaks about some of the elderly members of the church. I mean, who is supposed to take care of the senior adult women in the church, the widow and the widower? Well, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, now back to verse 3, honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, and I might say if a widower has children or grandchildren, let them, who? The kids and the grandkids. Let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make repayment to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. You see, it's not primarily in the context of parents who won't take care of their kids, but of grown kids who won't take care of their parents, that God comes on to say now again in verse 5, but if anyone does not provide for the members of his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I recognize, and I've seen in my own family, that sometimes the most honorable, caring, kind thing you can do is to place your mom or dad in a nursing home. Perhaps they've reached a stage where their physical or mental capacity, you can no longer care for them the way they need to be cared for. But there is a difference in using facilities or nurses and doctors to assist you in taking care of your mom or your dad. World of difference in that and stockpiling them in an old folks' warehouse and never going by to see them or take care of them. Do you think your parents ever did without because of you? Do you think they ever changed their plans because of something you needed? Do you think you ever got on your mama's nerves? You think you ever irritated your daddy? You say, the way mama dresses, the way mama acts, she embarrasses me. You don't think you ever embarrass your mama and your daddy? And the Bible says we are to repay them. Repay them with time. Repay them with visits. Repay them as possible with chores around their house. Repay them by going to events and goings on that they want to go to. You say, but I don't want to go to homecoming out at New Bethel number 7 with mama. Go anyway. And around this sanctuary this morning, there are men and women who could stand by the dozens and say, I'd love to have a chance to go to church with my mama one more time. I'd love to be able to go help daddy tinker around in the yard one more time. And their testimony to you would be, you honor your older mom or dad, grandparents included, by how you sacrifice for them. One of my earliest memories, I was about 5, maybe 6 years old. My great-grandfather lived with us when I was a young boy. It was my dad's maternal grandpa, and I called him grandpa. We lived in a 3-bedroom house. Mom and daddy shared a room. My 2 sisters shared a room, and I shared a bedroom with grandpa. As grandpa got older, he began to lose control of certain functions. And I remember one day I was in the backyard with my daddy. He had grandpa's overalls turned inside out on the clothesline. Grandpa had had an accident, and he was hosing them out to get them clean enough to go in the washing machine. You can imagine what a little 5, 6-year-old boy might have said about that. It was nasty, dirty. I said, oh, I wouldn't want to do that, Daddy. He said, I don't really enjoy doing it either. Well, why are you doing it? One of my earliest memories was my daddy saying, he wiped my dirty bottom many a time. You know, the Bible says when our parents get older, we need to pay them back for what they did for us. So we obey this commandment in how we submit to them, how we sacrifice for them, but thirdly, and how we speak about them. I'm now really addressing those whose parents have already passed away. Did you know that when you walk away from the cemetery burying your mom or dad, you don't suddenly get permission to speak about them in an unhonorable way? This commandment is to be obeyed by us, not as long as our parents live, as long as you live. You can't start talking bad about mama just because she's dead. You can't start talking disrespectfully about your father just because he's passed away. Obey them when you're young. Repay them when they are old and honor them every day of their life. Keep their memory alive. Hey, we're 7 days away from Mother's Day. You know, if your mom has passed away, one of the ways that you can honor her is by telling some of those good stories about her. Mama wasn't perfect. Leave all that other stuff out. Tell your kids and grandkids something good about great granny. If you're responsible for keeping up their grave, listen, I know some of you have buried your parents in these perpetual memorial gardens. all my people on both sides of the family are buried way out in the boondocks, fighting rattlesnakes and sand gnats down dirt roads at old deserted primitive Baptist church cemeteries. And if the grave's going to get cleaned up, we're the ones that are going to have to clean it up. I really do believe that is a very practical way that we can show honor to our father and our mother, without question. The best way that you can honor a Christian mama and a godly daddy is live a godly life that honors their spiritual investment in you. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Did you see it there? There's a plain requirement, a proper response. There's thirdly a promised reward. In the context of the Ten Commandments, this is the first one with a promise. That's what Paul is referencing here. There's no specific promise of blessing if you don't commit adultery, though you'll be blessed. But this one has a blessing attached to it. Exodus 20:12 says that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving to you. I think that there are three blessings that we can find. First, they're blessings in your life. Just practical blessings in life. For starters, your parents won't kill you. You'll be blessed in your own life. Young people, listen to your pastor this morning. In fact, if you've got somebody, a child with you, elbow them and make sure they're awake right now. I want all the boys and girls and teenagers looking right here and listen very carefully. Your mama and daddy love you more than any two people on the face of the earth. They love you more than that friend at school. They love you more than that boyfriend or that girlfriend. They love you more than that fiance. Your mama and daddy love you more than any two people on the face of the earth. And I know you may not realize it yet, but listen, they know more than you do. You say, about what? Everything. The two people who love you more than anybody else and who know more than you know about this thing you're wanting to do, you'd be real, real wise to take their advice and follow it. And you'll find yourself protected from a lot of hurt, heartache, and trouble. And you'll find yourself the recipient of a boatload of blessings. Blessings in your life. Secondly, blessings over your land. This promised commandment was not first of all given to an individual. It was given to the nation of Israel. That if you as a people, you as a body, you as a nation want to have stability, you want to last and succeed and prosper, then it starts at the house. Honor your father and your mother. Now I'm out of time, but I've got to hurry on to say that our country, and I love our country, I'm a member of the America Love It or Leave It crowd. If you don't like this country, there are planes out of Jacksonville every single day, all day long. Pick you a country you want to live and make haste to get there. But our country is fighting a scourge of sorry, lazy, entitled, self-centered children who are raised with an entitlement syndrome in a participation trophy world with a mom and a dad more concerned about being their friend or their buddy than being their mama and their daddy. What I'm saying is some of y'all have never been whipped with a flip-flop on aisle five of the Piggly Wiggly, and it's starting to show. The home is a crucible. It's a laboratory. It's a workshop where God is working an understanding of how you function in the world. And if you don't learn to honor your parents, you won't learn to honor your boss, and you're going to get fired. If you don't learn to honor your parents, you're going to dishonor your teacher, you're going to get suspended. You don't learn to honor your parents, you're not going to honor your spouse, you're going to end up divorced. You don't learn to honor your parents, you're not going to honor your coach, you're going to end up on the bench or off the team. You don't learn how to honor your mama and daddy, you're not going to learn to honor the police, and you're going to end up in jail. And we're raising a whole generation of young people who are more concerned about getting some silly viral video going on TikTok or Instagram than learning what God says about how to treat their own mama and their daddy. We're paying a price for it in the land. This is the first commandment with promise. Blessings in your life, blessings over your land, blessings from your Lord. Because this promised blessing comes from God Himself. I'm convinced that some people who would never steal, murder, or cheat think little to nothing about dishonoring their parents. But one day we will stand before God and give an account for our lives, and one of the things, listen carefully, one of the things for which I will answer and you will answer, how'd you treat your daddy? How'd you treat your mama? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It was a Sunday night service. A little girl was part of a group. They'd been memorizing verses of Scripture. And all she was supposed to say from memory was John 8:12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But with everybody staring at her, the spotlight's on, I mean, she forgot it. And her mama was down on the front row mouthing to her, "I am the light of the world." Daddy was sitting right beside mama. He too was mouthing, "I am the light of the world." And she finally put her skirt back down and quit showing her Wonder Woman underoos. And she said, "My mama and daddy are the light of the world." I don't know if your mom and daddy were the light of the world, or they may have been a source of great pain and difficulty in your life. But the one who is himself the light of the world says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise.
You've been listening to the Emmanuel Pulpit, where Pastor Mike Stone is committed to walking you verse by verse through the books of the Bible. You can contact us through our church website at ebchurch.net or visit pastormikestone.com. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of the Emmanuel Pulpit.